Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing? That's kind of weak. How are we doing? Yeah, that's much more like it. I love it. Filled with the joy of the Lord. Well, we are looking at Luke right now. My brother Glenn and co-pastor Glenn brought us into the Luke series last week called Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. And he summarized the kind of pre-birth, birth, and early years of Jesus, and he did a wonderful job just wrapping all of that together. Well, today we're going to continue in this walk, and what I want to say to you as we're looking at this series is, as you hear the word, as it's delivered each week, that you'd be meditating on what you can apply from it into your life ministries. And so as we look at Jesus, as we talk about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, that we would be pulling from that what we can be like, how can I foundationally shore myself up in the ministries of Jesus so that my life ministries are breathing Jesus's life into others. Today, we're going to look at Jesus was just baptized, and we're going to look at an interaction that he had after his baptism, the temptation with Satan in the wilderness. And I wanted to talk briefly about the wilderness, what that means. Before we even look at the text, one, it's 40 days that Jesus was in the desert, and he was fasting, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And the wilderness was really inhospitable. You know, it was hot, there was not food, there was not probably lacking in water. It was a dangerous place with dangerous creatures. And so think about that. As we read the text today, think about where Jesus is, where he's put himself, led by the Holy Spirit, to be in this time. So we're going to look at Luke 4, it's 1 through 13, and it says this, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And he took Then Satan takes him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the depth and the wealth, the richness that is there. Everything we need to walk through our lives in ministry is there. So God, I pray that as we listen to the word today, as we think about how you were tempted, that we would pull from it ways that we can equip ourselves, we can armor ourselves to protect us from temptation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a really amazing text. There's a lot of cool comparisons, parallels throughout the Old Testament to this text. We have Adam who and Jesus. The comparison there was Adam being tempted in the garden, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, Adam being tempted in safety, Jesus being tempted in danger by the same character, Satan. And in 1 Corinthians, it talks about Jesus being the final Adam. So Adam, the original man, failed in temptation and plummeted humanity into sin and death. And Jesus beat temptation, lived the perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, and conquered death and brought resurrection and new life. So Jesus is the final Adam. I could say the more complete, the better Adam. We also have parallels to Moses, who did 40-day fasts when he delivered the law. And then when the law was broken, Moses fasted again. But once again, we have Moses bringing the law, bringing the rules, showing us how to do something we couldn't do, and Jesus brings us grace, truth and grace so that we can be saved by his blood. There's also Elijah who fasted for 40 days, but we're not going to dig into that as much. I think the major comparison we want to look at is Israel. Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. And so I don't think that it's happenstance that Jesus, right before he starts his adult ministry, is led by the Spirit to spend 40 days in the wilderness. And in both cases, Israel faced many, many trials, many temptations, many struggles. And guess what? They failed again and again and again. And there's direct parallels with Jesus' success because the words that he uses to defeat Satan in the temptation have to do with the struggles Israel faced in the wilderness. When Israel was hungry, they pleaded to God for bread. And they said, "Don't be unfair. Don't be a jerk. You brought us out here. Give us some food." Okay? They also, when Jesus talks about don't test the Lord, Israel just constantly tested the Lord. In Exodus 17:2, it says, "Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But they did it again and again and again." Jesus, I don't know if you've ever fasted. Maybe you've fasted for a day. Maybe some of you have fasted for two. I saw a study recently of a gentleman that didn't eat food for like 15 days. And this was actually me looking into it because I was looking at like potential benefits of fasting physically. And this guy's body deteriorated in every way. You might think, oh, well, at least maybe he lost weight. But the reality was, actually, his body consumed more of his muscle than his fat. And so he ended up with a higher BMI at the end of this 15 days than he had before. Every bit of his body was depreciating, degrading. And I know that when I have a mental struggle in my best form, that there is amazing challenges. I can only imagine when I'm 40 days hangry, you know, what that looks like. And so through the 40 days of fasting, Jesus is being tempted. We have two characters in this text. We have Jesus, and then we have who? Satan. We have Jesus and Satan. So what I want to look at quickly, most of us are familiar with who Jesus is. Maybe some of us aren't as familiar with who Satan is. So we're going to look at that really quick. The Bible describes Satan as a liar, the father of lies. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, it says that he's the tempter, the one who tempts. In 1 Peter 5:8, and this I think is particularly interesting, he says he's your adversary. So this same character, the Bible lays out that this is a real individual, real character, created character, and that he's the father of lies. He is in charge of the evil. He's responsible for temptation. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it refers to him as the God, lowercase g, of the world. So here you have this ruler of evil and lies, and we have the parallel that I talked about with Adam in the garden. He's confusing and manipulating. He says things like, did God really say that to Adam and Eve? But he was approaching them where they were, and with Jesus, he comes at a bit of a different angle. He, I think, has an idea of why Jesus is there, is what he's doing. I mean, we see examples in Scripture of demons saying to Jesus, it's not our time yet. So there's some understanding of what's to come. And what Satan is offering Jesus is, here's a lifeline. You don't have to go to the cross. I can make you Lord of the world. It's in my power to do so. I see that you haven't eaten for 30 days. You can make bread, just do it. So he's tempting him where he is. So what I want to ask us today is Satan tempting you? So just take a second and think about that. Think about the thoughts that go through your head sometimes, those things that you're like, hey, that doesn't sound so good. Or maybe you get drawn towards doing things that aren't appropriate. Is Satan tempting you? The Bible says this, in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter, Satan, had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so I would say, yes, we're being tempted. And I think that there's two bad tendencies we can have in our lives as believers when it comes to temptation. Firstly, we can just blame it all on Satan, right? It's his fault. It's his fault. Eve did that. But we can just say, it's his fault, it's his fault. Well, that doesn't really add up, because if it's his fault, it's like throwing a ball at a wall. It's just going to bounce back at him, right? So he can be a great tempter, but if it's only his fault, he's going to tempt all day with no results, right? So my encouragement to you is, be accountable. It's okay that we can struggle with temptation. It's okay that we struggle with it. Be accountable. Own it. Grieve it. When it comes to our sin, grieve it. God does. And I don't know that that's probably the major piece. There's probably not a lot of people out there that are like, Satan, it's his fault, it's all his fault. But I think this is the one where we probably fall more commonly. This might be scarily common, and certainly something that I struggle with, is acknowledging spiritual warfare, okay? So if I was to ask when the last time you experienced spiritual warfare was, you know, you might sit there and go, maybe a year ago, 6 months. I think that if we put ourselves in the position where we aren't realizing that this stuff is going on, the enemy is at the gates, then we're unprepared. As I was thinking about this, I thought about Gideon. And so Gideon's putting together an army, and they're fighting against pretty incredible odds, and then he's told to have the army, so he has the army. And then he's told to watch the soldiers drink, and if the soldiers go and they just submerge their head into the water, just lap up as much water as they can, then they aren't really paying attention to what's going on around them. But if the soldiers scoop up the water, bring it to their mouth, and they're watching, they're aware, they're alert, the enemy is ever present. And so, he said, take those soldiers. Why does he need so few soldiers? He's like, I don't want it to be a question that you guys just are military geniuses. I did it. God said, I did it. But I think it's a great example for us to look at How equipped are we? Do we believe spiritual warfare is present, that the enemy is at the gates? Because I'll tell you what, if you aren't in a place where you believe that, where you feel that, where you're prepared for that, then when you look out the gates, you're seeing the Trojan horse rather than the Trojans in the horse. You'll be deceived. So what can we do? What can we do about it? How can we be prepared? We've mentioned it a little bit already. Does anyone remember scripture, something about armor? Put on the full armor of God. Let's say that again. Put on the
full armor of God.
Yes. Being connected to the full armor of God so that we have our defenses on. If we're equipping the armor, we are prepared for battle. If we're not, then we're not. Submit to God. In James, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you're submitting to God's will and authority in your life, then you have a resilience to the schemes of the devil. Draw near to God. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so, again, acknowledging, seeing the sin, grieving the sin, and drawing near to God, because ultimately it's not about your battles, right? I'm going to give a bunch of different practices that we can do to be prepared to glorify God in our actions, in our deeds, in our words, to be able to fight off temptation, but this has to come out of a place of victory, okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We have victory, right? It's not about our battles. The battle was won, so we have victory. We're coming from a place of victory. Humble yourselves. Know the word. When we're looking at Jesus interacting with Satan, how does he combat each and everything? He talks about, it is written, it is said. This is what the word says. So know the word. And there's some depth to this, because I think there's tendencies for us to fall into temptation even in that. I've seen more and more cases of bending the word. Okay? So if it doesn't meet my life situation, if it doesn't line up with how I'm feeling or what I want to do, then I'll just make it say what I want it to say. Don't bend the word. Don't make excuses. Instead, let's live in love and accountability with each other, encouraging each other. But don't fall into this trap, right? Because I think here's another trap I'm going to lay out. Because as I say all these things, there's a risk for us to fall into condemnation, right? Can you relate? Yeah. So what I see is you see Satan tempt into sin, then you see condemnation. Again and again and again, and it sinks you. It's like it like grabs hold of you and keeps you someplace. Oh, you did that thing and just kind of holds on to you. Or, oh, you think you need to be your own Jesus Christ and it holds on to you. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's not fall into that trap. As we're looking at ways that we can pursue God and glorify God, put on the armor of God, sharpen our swords so we can fight off Satan and fight in the spiritual battles on a day-to-day basis, it's not coming from how good you are. It's coming from God's grace. And it's also not this, it's nothing that you can take and feel either really good or really bad about, you know? I'm never adding up. If you're constantly putting yourself under a microscope, you're going to find you never add up. I know I do. I always feel like, oh boy, I could do that a lot better. I could love better. I could build my relationships stronger. I could encourage where it actually bears fruit and makes a person feel encouraged. Where when I see that Aaron's doing work and I'm doing work in Jesus' name, I'm doing my best to honor and glorify God, but I see sometimes Aaron comes out and he's knocking things down. Honor and glorify God in our lives, but don't fall into condemnation. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We need to hold fast to the truth of Jesus in our daily lives. In 1 John 2:1, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous." Our hope, our glory, our salvation is in Christ. He beat temptation, and we're going to fail. But what I want to encourage you in is hold on to Jesus, put on the armor of God, acknowledge that spiritual warfare is happening, and we need to be on our guard against it. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for this day. Lord, I just pray that as we walk into our lives this week, as we walk into our relationships, even after the service today and interact with folks from the band and folks from the community and with each other, God, that it would just be an uplifting time where we would feel like we are building and encouraging. Lord, that you would be just strengthening our bonds so that this concept of walking through temptation and struggle doesn't feel like a lonely journey, but instead it's a journey that we're on together, that we're preparing together, that we're loving together, that we're fighting your battles, both spiritual and physical, together. Lord, move in power this day and this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.